Y'all, thank y'all so much for being here today. Today is, unfortunately, the last week of our new sermon series titled My New Beginning. In week one, we focused on four reasons why we fail. Like, we fail whenever we limit God and not dream big. We fail when we don't give God the credit he deserves. We fail when we give up too soon, and we fail when we don't listen to God. Church, it's important to analyze the reasons why we fail so we wouldn't, like, repeat the same mistakes. We want to prevent failing from happening in our forward move into following God. In week two, we talked about how we're not defined by our past mistakes. You see, our past failures, our former self, desire to hold us captive so we won't move forward in life. But, love that conjunction, but God's mercies are new every day, which means that we are not who we once were. And so also, hear this, also we're not defined by our past accomplishments. Paul said that he put no confidence in the flesh, right? He didn't put any confidence in his past accomplishments. He didn't put any confidence in his own logic, in his own understanding, in his own wisdom, in his own strength. He said, don't put no confidence in that, because all of what you've achieved fails into comparison to who God is, amen? And what he's done, what he has done, what he's continuing to do, what he's going to do in the future, amen? Last week, we talked about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the Greek word for transform is that word metamorpho, where we get the word metamorphosis from. And so last week, we focused on, like, the process of becoming that new creation, the process for us being the men and the women God desires us to be. And whenever we deny the transformation process, like, whenever we deny that, we deny the end product. Like, every single destination requires a journey to get there. If you reject the journey, then you're not going to get to the destination. God wants us, like, for us to reach a destination, but we have to be okay, adopt the process. And even though that metamorphosis completely strips you away of who you once were, and that's a painful process, we ought to adopt that, to accept that, amen? Church, the first three sermons were really like an appetizer to get us to the main entree. Like I said, all of that to lead to today. Today is what it's all about, right? And so God has something in store for us today, amen? If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. In this new sermon series, My New Beginning, this is the biggest takeaway. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if anyone, hear this, maybe that just word right there is speaking to you, right? If anyone, despite where you've gone, what you've done, what you've experienced, no matter how great of sin in your mind that you committed, this is for you. Anyone, everybody's included in this. If anyone is in Christ, meaning that you've submitted to his pursuit and he's the Lord of your life, you placed your faith in Jesus, like he is your Lord. If anyone is in Christ, he is a, everybody say this, new creation. Let that marinate for a little bit. I wonder how heaven celebrates knowing that we on earth, not yet, in the heavenlies, like we're seated in the heavenlies, but we're not there. I wonder how heaven celebrates knowing that we right now are new creation. I wonder how you celebrate that, Do you celebrate that? If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now check this out. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old is passed away, gone. Y'all, this is incredible news. The old, our former self, is dead and gone. Now check this out. The word creation, the Greek word for creation is the word katesis. And katesis means species. So think about this. So if you're in Christ, you are a new species. Hear this, church. If the old me is dead and I am a new creation, it means that the new me is not a refurbished version of the old me. Now this bit, that's key. Let me repeat that. If you are a new creation, the new you is much more than a refurbished version of an old you. Whenever I'm talking about a refurbished version, I'm talking about the renovated version, a redecorated version. Imagine if there's a broke down car and somebody slaps a new paint job on it and say, hey, here's a new car. It ain't a new car. It looked good, but it ain't a new car. If you're sitting in here thinking that your old self is still alive and God just cleaned you up, you failed miserably. We new creations. You know what? Let me get this keeps falling off of me, and I'm going to get excited, so I'm just going to take this off, all right? Because I see myself getting a little. All right, check, check. There we go. Can y'all hear me? I am much more than an updated version of who I once was before. I am much more than a cleaned up version of who I once was much more before, y'all. I am a new species altogether. Check this out. A couple of years ago, I had the amazing opportunity of preaching, of officiating my great-grandmother's funeral. I called her Sunshine. She's 89 years old, right? And I hadn't seen her in many years. But whenever I got to the funeral home, I peeped inside of the casket and I saw Sunshine, and I'm like, wow, like this 89-year-old lady is absolutely beautiful. Like, she was 89, stone cold fox sitting in there in that casket. I'm like, wow, Sunshine. Now think about this. She looked almost exactly the same of the last time I saw her many years before. And think about this. The last time I saw her, she was alive and well. Looked almost exactly the same. Being deceased, and she looks alive and well. She looked resting. You know who I got to give a shout out to about that? It's the mortician. Mortician really flies under the radar, but think about this, right? It's a mortician's job to prepare the body for burial, and also, especially if they're having an open casket funeral, the funeral, right? It's a mortician's job to take that deceased body and make that deceased body not look deceased, but look peaceful and resting, as if they're just falling asleep, alive and falling asleep, right? And that mortician did a fantastic job of what they did on Sunshine. But now check this out. Even though Sunshine looked absolutely beautiful and she had the appearance of being alive and just resting, her insides were gone. My great-grandmother was deceased. Like, and amen, she knew Jesus, you know, so she is dancing in heaven right now. But that earthly body, like, there was no life in it. She looked beautiful, but no life. Church, if God had just cleaned us up, then we would have the appearance of being full of life, but we'd be dead inside. Dead inside, y'all. Jesus called out the Pharisees about this, y'all. Check this out. In Matthew 23 through 27, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you, hear this, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness." Do you sit here and actually think if you are a new creation, then that's you? That you have the appearance of being alive, but you're actually dead inside? The answer, of course, is no.
So you have to identify yourself as a brand new species. That means everything apart from, you know, everything that you were, every single bit, 100% of what you were before is non-existent. I forget that sometimes. Church, why am I telling you all of this? Why am I telling you all this? If you hear this, each and every person in here, listen to this, right? This is God speaking to you through me. Hear this. If you are a new creation, if you are in Christ, you saints in here, which I believe are most of you, if you are a new creation, you are alive. And if you are alive, go live your best life. Are you living or are you breathing to death? Think about it. How can we who have received eternal life live a life lifeless? How is that possible? We have to choose to do it. I can swim like crazy, right? Imagine me going to, I'm 6'3". Imagine me going to a pool like that's 2 feet of water and drowning. Like I willingly, you know? It's like, what are you doing, bruh? Newsflash, church, you saints, we are not the ones who are defeated. We are the, like, hear this out. We are not the ones, like, on the losing side. We are not the, like, we are the ones with the victory. We're the ones with the hope. We're the ones with the peace. We're the ones with the joy. We're the ones with the eternal life. So live it, right? So live it. New creations, we have new purpose. We have new understanding. We have new vision. We have new wisdom. We have new family. Are you living your life experiencing your new wisdom, your new understanding, enjoying your new family? Are you living your best life, church? Why do we walk around with our heads low? Why do we walk around being defeated? Why do we live our lives worrying about anything? Why do we live lives like saying being slaves to ones who, we're slaves to a dude who is dead. We feel down about ourselves. We don't think that we can progress. We don't think that we can move forward because of what we've done in our past. But imagine. I'm speaking to myself, and as I'm talking, God is like, dude, do you have any idea who you are, you new species? If I had a carrot, you know, and I'm a carrot, okay? And I dip the carrot in ranch dressing, it would make the carrot taste a whole lot better. I eat a whole bunch more carrots if they're dipped in ranch dressing, right? But a lot of times, we think that that's what we are. We're just the same old thing with this nice goodness on top of it. But whenever you bite into it, you first taste the ranch, but then you would notice, oh, yeah, some definite carrot there, you know? God took a carrot and made you a donut. Now, I eat a whole bunch of donuts. No matter how I cook the carrot, no matter how I cut the carrot, no matter what ingredients I make to the carrot, there's no way I can make it into a donut. You are a new species, men and women. So having full knowledge of that, go live your best life. Go live your best marriage. Go be the best employee you can be. Go love your wife the best you can. Go love your children. Live. God has given us life. So live it. Amen? Now, God has challenged us to live our best life. Now, here's how to get it done. He gave us instructions on how to get it done. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 15, it says this. For the love of Christ controls us. The arrogant part of me, the all about Richard part of me, immediately, like my flesh, when I read this verse, immediately my flesh puffed up. I don't want to be controlled by nobody. I want to be controlled of myself. And God goes, you're missing the point. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live might know, hear this, for those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. This is what this verse is saying. Like the Message version says this, God included everyone in his death so he can include everyone in his life. God included everybody. Like, think about this. Now, he included us in his death. Think about his death. He did not sin one time. Perfection, and he died. Hear this, men and women. Like without Jesus dying on the cross, without Jesus living perfectly, there's no reconciliation between God and man. And God lived perfectly. Jesus lived perfectly, died, and included you in it. Again, without living a perfect life, there's no reconciliation between God and man. So if Jesus died and included you in it, what do you think God sees whenever he looks at you, you new species? We are included with that eternal life. If you want to live your best life, hear this, church, allow God's love to take control of you. Surrender to his love. And now, I know you're probably thinking about like love. It's crazy whenever we talk about love sometimes as if that word does not have power. Anytime we think about this, whenever you hear the word, oh, love your enemy. It's like we strip that word, like all the power from that word, and it's like, oh, it's something that I gotta do. It's more, oh, I gotta submit to this love. I gotta take it on the chin. Oh, I gotta love you. As if this love doesn't have power. Let me remind you, men and women, in 1 Peter, it says the love that covers a multitude of sins. In 1 John, it says the same love drives out fear. It says in John 3 that the love of God is the reason why he offered up his son. The same love that has been poured out into our hearts is through the Holy Spirit. It's the love of God, the reason why we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. God himself is inside of every saint in here because of love. That word love has power. So if you're allowing that love to control you, you know how much power that's inside of you, you new species. Love is powerful, right? Oh my goodness, man, he's preaching today. Surrender to that power, to wield that power. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, how could we're a new creation. A new species. We're brand new. You know how many years I've wasted my life identifying myself who I once was? No more. What about you, right? All right, now God has given us the challenge, which is living our best life, and he's given us instructions how to do so, which is submitting to that love, allowing God's love to take control of our lives. And God didn't just leave it there. He gives us a motivation to it, a whole motivation, right? He gives us incentive. He's like, look, I'm telling you to do these things, but hey, I got some for you. To keep you going. I said, all of that, y'all, let me share you the motivation behind it all, which is my final point. Live your best life. Hear this. This is the motivation. Live your best life, but know that this life won't be the best life you will ever live. The best news I got this side of the heaven is knowing that I am a brand new species. God made me a brand new species. And that's the best I can experience on this life, but that's not going to be the best life that I ever live. That's news for you, saints. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 4. Oh, hear this. Think about this. This is as being a new species, new creation, which is incredible news. For we know that if our earthly, this is the Amplified version, for if we know that if the earthly tent, that's our bodies. Again, I'm a new creation. And this is a tent, a tent. Anytime I go camping, I camp in a tent, and it's temporary. Then I pack up that tent to go back to the building. Tent, temporary, building, permanent. Hear this. For we know that if the earthly tent, our physical body, which is our house, is torn down through death, death that we're going to experience out, it's a beautiful thing. We have a building from God, a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2, for indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our immortal, eternal, celestial, I forget how to pronounce their word. I practiced it like 3 or 4 different times. I think it's celestial, which means like our heavenly, supernatural place. Dwelling. Verse 3, so that by putting it on, we will not be found naked. Verse 4, for while we are in this tent, hear this, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, often weighed down and oppressed, not that we want to be unclothed, separated by death from the body, but to be clothed so that what is mortal, the body, will be swallowed up by life after the resurrection. Let me explain this verse to you, men and women. Right now, we are in this tent, this temporary tent. God loves us so much that in the heavenlies, he gave us a building which is going to be our permanent home. He called our bodies right now as a tent, letting us know that this is temporary. And I am going to break that tent down, and you're gonna live forever, eternal life in the heavenlies, in the building that was not made with man's hands, but I built that house, and you're gonna be there. So while you're here on this earth, you groan, right? Groan, of course, on this life, you're oppressed, you groan. But not groan like feeling defeated, like you groan because you know you want to get to the building. That's why we groan. That doesn't mean you mope and you put your head down. You groan because you want to get to heaven. You're longing for heaven. Now, sometimes, hear this, sometimes we forget, and I am the chief of this. Sometimes we forget that this life is temporary, but God knew that we would need a reminder. So this is what he did for us in verse 5. Now he who has made us and prepared us for this very purpose is God. Like, oh, hear this. Who gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge, a guarantee, a down payment on the fulfillment of his promise. God knew that we were going to get discouraged, but he says, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you God. I'm going to send you myself to live inside of you so you can constantly feel that groaning, so you can constantly be reminded that this earth, that you're going to experience oppression and hurt and frustration and injustice and anger and whatever. I'm going to remind you that this is not your final dwelling place. And God could have used anything to remind you of that. and he sent you himself. Catesis, you new species. He sent himself as a reminder of what's to come. That is your position as a new creation, men and women. You are a brand new species, so live your best life to the fullest. And you live your best life by submitting to the love of God. And that love, that power, you wield that power. Allow that power to control everything that you do. Then on top of all of that, men and women, know that this amazing life that we get to live as a new creation is not our final life. It's not the best life that we're going to experience. Can I get an amen for that good news? Tomorrow, we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. I believe that Dr. Martin Luther King was a man sent by God into darkness to bring light. Think about this. I'll start thinking about, like, if I saw the world through Dr. Martin Luther King's eyes, how much darkness he's experienced, how much darkness he saw in the world. And if all people, God goes, okay, I choose you to go bring that light into darkness. He didn't just simply look at that darkness and just submit to it. He was a man of God. And he looked at that darkness and he goes, all right, this is bigger than me. But you know what? I am a new creation. So I'm going to look in that darkness. And even though I don't see light, I'm about to allow God to use me to go create it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? That light is with you. Maybe your marriage is the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe the relationship with your children is the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe your job is the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe your neighborhood is the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe your own mindset of who you are and your outlook on whoever is the valley of the shadow of death. But you are a new creation, and it's cool because new creations create new things. So create new things. I wonder if Dr. Martin Luther King was living today, how he would feel about the progress that's been made. But I'm sure he groaned because he's like, we're not there yet. But on this side of heaven, we would never get there. But in heaven, it's going to be perfect. Everybody, let's stand. I'm so happy that God spoke to us today. Remember, you are a new species. Go live your best life. Amen? Live your best life. Be controlled by that love. And then last but not least, know that this is not the best life that you'll live. Because if you are in Christ, you will be in heaven. And everything will be perfect. Eternal life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anybody in here that does not know Jesus, it means that you do not have eternal life. If you want the gift from God and to experience eternal life, and you want to be that new creation with a new purpose, with a new vision, with a new understanding, if that's you in here today and you want to submit your life to Jesus, will you just simply slip up your hand? You saints in here, you're a new creation, so how about we go and create some beautiful things? God is with you. He loves you, and you can do incredible things because who's inside of you? Let's groan that we're here on this earth because we eagerly, gleefully awaiting for God to come and get us, or we'll be in heaven. But until then, we got work to do. So as new species, let's go recruit new species. Can I get an amen? Let me pray for us real quick, and let's head out. God, thank you that we're new creations. Father, this is my new beginning, and you created that. I pray, God, we will submit to your love, submit to your power, submit to you. Forgive us for our sins. And I pray, God, that we would not adopt our former self. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. As all new creations, we said, amen. Y'all take care. God bless.